Nancy masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan is a shout out Friday from the 469. Can I get a shout out for my son Noah? He and three other kids got selected for the spelling bee for his school. Congratulations. Obviously, a lot of folks saying shout out to David Koechner for being awesome, and hopefully you go see him at Hyenas.
What is that again? Is it Saturday?
Today and tomorrow, and then Sunday is the office trivia night.
All right. I'm tweeting out a picture that he just took.
It is a great picture. From the 214, shout out to my stepson, Tristan, going through boot camp for the Air Force, headed to the State Fair with my daughter, Jolene, and saw they're putting a Pluckers in Mesquite by the movie theater. Amen. Love the show. Fantastic. Thank you very much.
I saw there's a new
HEB
coming into the Metroplex, but it's definitely not south of the Trinity.
Where is it going?
I forget. Somebody sent me a text.
Okay.
While I was I was in Italy. But I saw on Twitter, they're like, oh, and not one in Oak Cliff, but I forget what town. But congratulations to that town.
Now, congratulations to all of us, because we get the C Block starring Corey Major.
Yeah, how do you follow that? You know, is the question that you start off with.
With a set. I think you pretend you're a comedian.
Oh, that would be amazing.
I have nothing prepared at the moment. But I did want to ask you a question, Mike. This is a baseball question.
Ooh.
Kevin, you saw this news where I wanted to discuss this with Mike. Will Venable and Donnie Ecker have been given approval to interview with the White Sox.
Yep.
Okay.
And it has felt like Venable is the coach in waiting, manager in waiting.
Absolutely.
He played here for a bit. He got traded here for just a bit with the World Series teams. And he's
teammates with Chris Young, yep. I believe in San Diego when they were teammates.
And I really do like his approach to things, and it might be different than Bochy's, but he's working under and with Bochy, which is amazing.
Right.
Can you kind of walk us through this? Because I don't want to lose that guy necessarily.
Well, I would say this. The Rangers have said you can go interview.
Yeah.
And he can take a managerial job. When you say that, you're like, and I don't think you can, I'm not sure, but I don't think you can withhold a guy if he's a bench coach from becoming a manager of another team.
It feels like that would not be fair.
It feels like I know in other sports like football, and I'm assuming it might be the same in baseball, we don't want you to leave if you're under contract or can't leave to go be a bench coach for another team or a third base coach for another team.
For a lateral move, yeah.
Right. So I would say, if Will's taking these interviews, then that would mean he's serious about becoming the manager of whatever team that interviews him. Because I was thinking about this off the air. We were talking about this. You don't want to, if you're Will Venable or Donnie Ecker, you don't want to take these interviews and go, well, I just want to take these interviews and get practice, but I know I'm staying with the Rangers. Because what if you do great in the interview and they offer you the job and you say, well, I don't want the job.
Yeah.
That's not good for your future, because now another team hears that, they liked Will. They offered Will, and then he said no because supposedly he's going to be the Rangers' next manager. So then if you have to fire your manager next year, you're like, Will's not even on our – if somebody brings up his name, no, he's already turned down the White Sox or Marlins job. He's already turned that down. Why would he take our job? He's just going to use us to maybe do an interview or use something more about our organization, what we like or dislike, what we're trying to accomplish or not trying to accomplish. And I know this sounds weird. This is too far what I'm saying here, but use it against us.
Right, yeah.
In a trade situation or in a game situation, he knows what we are trying to accomplish as a generic type of deal. So I think if he's taking these interviews, then he would be possibly serious about leaving the Rangers and becoming the manager of another team. I do think he is the manager in waiting, but you never know.
Right. No, you're right.
You never know what could happen throughout a season or a two. You say, oh, well, John Hart's leaving. And I want Grady Little? Right, he was here when I was here, and he was supposedly the next general manager, but then things changed.
John Daniels swoops in.
Right, they won a lot of games in 2004. I was part of it for 3 weeks, and then all of a sudden, John Hart wanted to stay, and the ownership wanted him to stay. At the time, Hicks was the owner. And then all of a sudden, Grady Little's like, what the crap? I left this situation for that situation. So then he left the Rangers going, well, you guys kind of, in a way, felt like you promised me the general manager's job, and now you guys aren't going to do that. And then they did go with John Daniels a couple years later.
Now, Kevin, Alec has tweeted it out. We are the show that kills producers. He tweeted it out earlier, so he's submitting his job for the WWE to be a writer slash producer there.
I'm totally doing it, by the way.
But almost every one of the people that have left, there's only one that we have a different opinion about, but almost all of them, we've been supportive.
Yeah.
And we've been like, hey, man, whatever we can do to help. Reggie, you know, same thing. We send him down to Houston. Sorry about that. But I would assume Bochy would not be holding this against him. Like, he'd be like, no, man, I want you to succeed. My question, though, is, Mike, if who would he replace? Bobby Wilson seems to be Bochy's best friend. Right. You know, it seems like they former catchers, they're tight. Would Bobby Wilson be a good candidate for something like that?
For the next manager?
What is
if you lose Will, is that what you're saying?
No, the bench coach. That role.
If you lost.
Yeah, what is
lost,
that role? Like, you got to love that guy, right?
Okay, you are a helper to the manager. That's the best way I can describe it is you're obviously the manager if the guy gets thrown out, too, most likely. Sometimes other teams could do it maybe a different way, but the majority of teams is if the manager gets thrown out, the bench coach then becomes the manager because he's kind of the helper to the manager. So you might be helping him out a little bit, as in there's a lot, as slow as maybe baseball feels like to you, you might just help him out and go, hey, just a reminder, in the seventh inning, they have this left-hander that, you know, they like bringing in. Do you want me to kind of go tell, I'm trying to use an example, a right-handed hitter off the bench for the Rangers. Do you want me to go tell Ezekiel Duran, hey, be prepared. An inning from now, they might be bringing in this guy. This is what they like doing, and you're going to be the pinch hitter. So you're just reminding Boach, do you want to use Zeke in the seventh inning if they bring in that guy so we can kind of mentally prepare Zeke an inning from now that he's going to be hitting? You know, he should be.
Yeah.
Zeke should be ready at any point, any moment, anything can happen. But you also want to make sure that you're kind of preparing them. And so in case somebody forgets something, and the manager can forget. It doesn't mean you're a bad manager. There's just a lot going on in your head. You might be trying to manage the bullpen, your own bullpen in your head right now. And so he's just an extra thought guy for you to have. Or, hey, let's do this right now. You don't want to be too demand. It's a very, you have to have a great relationship with the manager.
Like Silvio with Tony Soprano, right? You just kind of have to be wait topical. For him to need a suggestion, and you give him a good suggestion.
You don't want to tell him what to do, but you want to give him strong suggestions or just a reminder.
Yeah. Okay. Thank
you,
Mike.
That makes sense.
I really appreciate that.
And also, they pick up the phone and say, "Do we need to replay this or not?"
Yeah, that's good. That's part of the job. Now, basketball season's on the way.
That's true.
I feel like this audio might frustrate some people.
Oh,
this is Andre Drummond on the Run Your Race podcast with Theo Pinson. Talking about his rebound crowns.
So I was like, you know what? I asked one of my boys to say, yo, who's leading the NBA in rebounding right now? So it's Dwight Howard. I think he averaged like 12.3. So I'm like, I'm currently averaging 8.9 as a rookie. I can beat that mother.
Yeah, 100%.
For sure. I can beat that. So after I realized how like not sexy rebounding was, I said, that's it. I'm going to be the best rebounder to ever play this game.
Yeah.
So then I set out to do it.
How many years running did you have the crown?
Four.
4 years. Sheesh.
And I almost got it coming off the bench.
Sheesh. That's crazy.
Nah, bro. It was getting sick at a point of time.
No, facts. Like,
it was getting...
Oh, it's coming. It's coming back. Don't worry.
No, I already know.
It was like the 2020 games, like consistent. I was like,
20. Let's go ahead and I'm gonna call a spade a spade. Were there times you would miss some shots on purpose to get the rebound?
Yeah,
I knew it. I knew it, bro.
So, wow. There you go. He just admits that there were times. Reese. Yeah, the Angel. I don't know that Angel Reese is doing it on purpose.
That's true.
She just might not be able to make that shot yet. Okay, fair. She's gonna work on that. But Andre Drummond, we always said, dude, that's the perfect addition. He's got size. He rebounds. He can play. Well, and then we were like, well, maybe he isn't a great rim protector, a defensive player. But we were looking at the rebound numbers going, man, this could be great. But he admitted that he would oftentimes miss shots so that he could pad his rebound numbers so he could have those stats. You can't trust that. When you're this is why you have to watch
but
the game,
how many
right?
guys, he can't be the only one.
No, that's what
but
I'm saying. You
no
have to watch
way.
The, you
yeah.
have to watch the game.
I thought you were saying now you have to watch bringing in guys that average like 12 or 13 yeah. rebounds a game that, yeah. that might be some fake numbers there.
That's and exactly. If you're thinking about going and getting a guy and you're just looking at numbers and you're like, hey, well, his numbers say he's a great rebounder.
Yeah.
You might need to go watch some of his film to make sure.
Is this why Dwight Howard has called out Angel Reese? That he is thinking she might be doing the same thing that he did.
That or is an that interesting question.
Drummond did to kind of pad the numbers to be like a 10 rebound a night person.
Maybe so.
I don't know.
Maybe that's what's going on. And then Kevin, this one, we haven't gotten to talk enough college football this week, honestly, because there was a lot of chaos that went on. But Travis Hunter wants the Heisman Trophy.
I get it.
He has said Ashton Jeanty has 95 carries for 1,000 yards. If I had 95 catches, how many yards do you think I'd have? And that is his push, as he's saying hypothetical numbers. That's I would have more not... if I had all the touches that this guy has.
Okay, but you can't compare catches to runs, right?
Attempts,
The fact that they're even in the same league is crazy in favor of the Boise State running back.
Jeanty?
I haven't been following a lot of college football. I do know.
That's Mike's guy, by the way. Yeah. Mike told us about him first.
Yeah. I looked up the three top running backs before college football started, knowing that the Cowboys were probably going to really struggle at running the football.
Hey, shocker. They
and
have.
That they would probably, in the first three rounds next year, take a running back. Obviously, he was projected to be a second round running back before the season started.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys had a vote today, who would you vote as the Heisman Trophy winner?
Jeanty.
Arch Manning. Jeanty. If Arch Manning was...
So is this why Hunter's kind of speaking up because he knows that he's losing
trailing a
right
little
now?
Bit here?
Yeah, I'm going to actually look that
Somebody
up
did
right
say,
now.
You play every damn snap though, Travis. Like that, he does. He plays both sides. He plays all the snaps. He needs to point that out too. Like that's a huge, huge part of it.
Huh. All right, well, there's some spots in DraftKings as of a couple days ago had Travis Hunter fourth.
Wow.
Ashton Jeanty is leading the way. Then Dylan Gabriel, the Oregon quarterback, and Cam Ward, the Miami quarterback.
I hate seeing Gabriel there because he left OU to go to Oregon. I kind of hate that. But they're on a new trajectory there at OU.
Let's just say they stay on the same trajectory. Would Travis Hunter winning the Heisman be as big a upset as when Charles Woodson, the dual player for Michigan, upset Peyton Manning?
Yeah, I think it would. Like, just, I don't know, just looking at it right now. But then Colorado's shown some flashes of maybe they're better than people thought they would be. Although Boise State is way better than people thought they would be. I think Gabriel has got a chance to fall out of the top of the mix. But then again, I think Milroe, quarterback at Alabama, still has an opportunity to get back in the mix.
Over Ryan Williams, his receiver.
Man, you know what? That's a great point. It feels like they wouldn't give it to him, but he's amazing. And the issue that you run into with Ewers is just that he missed a big chunk of time. But I mean,
he's on the number one team.
Yeah, and you've got the Georgia game coming up.
This could be. So if he puts up 20, I guess let's go to 30 points, has a great game, Ewers could get himself back into the mix after Saturday night.
Honestly, I think you can make a pretty strong argument for both of those guys, Quinn Ewers and Carson Beck, the Georgia quarterback, not only in terms of like draft ratings, but if you want to make your presence known, like, you know, 20-17 ain't going to get it done. But this is if this is like a 38-20 game or something like that, then whoever is the quarterback for the team that won, I do think that they're going to move probably into the top five.
Great stuff, guys. That was Corey Majors in the C block, relying on my co-host to do some awesome work. Good job, guys.
Hey, I'm just going to tell you, the tickets for Hyenas, they're not that expensive.
See, that's what I'm talking
about. I was like, oh.
Maybe you can rent Cheap Thrills and for the family and go see the show at Hyenas.
Are you sure
about that?
Yes.
For about $60, you can get two tickets and get in there, General.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. Not bad at all. Yeah, that's not bad at all. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. I have a feeling Texas Georgia might come back up because coming up next, which football game are you most looking forward to this weekend? Plus, Masterpiece of the Week. It is the fastest segment in all of radio. Good news for you. It's up next right here on The Fan.
Ewers from the shotgun on first down, turns, hands it to Weisner, cuts up the middle, 40, 35, Trey still on his feet, outside, here goes Weisner, say goodnight to this one, Trey Weisner in the end zone for the touchdown. How's that to make up for a fumble, 43 yards on a big rumble.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan, got Masterpiece of the Week coming up in just a few minutes, but despite the fact that there is no Cowboys game, the Fan has got you fixed for football this weekend.
Yeah, we do.
Oklahoma State at BYU tonight on the Fan at 8:30. Tomorrow, LSU at Arkansas, 6 p.m. On Sunday, 11:30 is when the pregame starts, and then you get an NFL doubleheader. Texans at Packers and Raiders at Rams. So my question for y'all is, it can be at whatever level. Maybe it's a high school thing, and we get the high school shout-outs going. What football game are you most looking forward to this weekend? Because it is a stacked slate. We played that highlight of Texas and Georgia because it feels, I hope this makes sense, it feels like a more important game for Georgia than Texas, which I probably would not have guessed at the beginning of the season. It feels like Texas can take a loss easier than Georgia
unless
can take
another loss. Unless they want to be one, right? Like, that unless is, they want to be one.
That is fair. I'm sure, I have no doubt that there is no discussion in Austin about, hey, we can lose this game. It's not that big of a deal. No, I'm not saying that at all. They can clearly absorb a loss better than Georgia can at this point, but if they beat Georgia, and they beat Georgia emphatically, it feels like they just strengthen and maybe have a stranglehold on number one.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, and this has to be the game. I won't say that. For me, it's the game.
In college, this is the game for me.
Yeah,
for sure.
and I think you're right. There is not as much relevance to this game because of the 12-team playoff, but for Georgia, there is. You start running into, because let's just say this. Right now, Texas A&M is on the outside looking in.
Even though they're in first place in the SEC.
Right. But if A&M wins out and their last game is against UT, A&M's in.
Yeah.
Well, if Georgia loses this game, and then I'm not saying it'll come down to Georgia and A&M.
Sure.
But all of a sudden, they're like, oh, crap. Like, A&M just beat UT. Or let's just say Texas A&M loses the LSU game. Do they play LSU? I think they play LSU.
They do.
But then they beat UT to finish the year in a dramatic win, and they only lost two games to Notre Dame and then to LSU. And let's just say both those teams look like they're going to get into the 12-team playoff. Man, I think Georgia could run into an issue there if they've lost two games versus the A&M two games, but the last game was an A&M win versus UT, who is undefeated and the number one team in the country. But I'm excited because if UT wins this game, this isn't fair, but in my mind I'll go, holy cow, they really are
the best
team. And maybe that's not fair because Georgia's not ranked number two.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's fine. Oregon can have whatever arguments they want. The great news about the playoff is you will eventually get a chance to settle it, or you'll watch the other team you are arguing with get a chance to settle it themselves. There were two other games I just wanted to throw out. You're right.
It's SMU Stanford.
First one I was going to say, but one of them is LSU and Arkansas. And I realize it's going to be right here on the Fan, and I don't want you to think that's the only reason I'm saying it, is because Arkansas had a game last week where they beat Tennessee, and all of a sudden, if you look at their last 2 weeks, you change perspective, because when they lost to Texas A&M, Texas A&M was still really trying to find their way. Then A&M beat down Missouri, who was in the top 10, and meanwhile, Arkansas beat Tennessee, who is in the top 10, and all of a sudden, you're like, hold on, I'm not saying Arkansas is great, but are they better than I thought? Could they trip up LSU?
Yeah, they absolutely could. I mean, this is one, Kevin, where you throw out all the records.
Do you?
Yeah.
Throw out all the records?
You throw out all the records on that one.
Feels like the return of Barry Foster to Arkansas.
I am.
That's what you're jazzed for.
I'm sticking in the NFL, though, because there are at least three games.
Give me cut number 11. This is going to be the game I vote for.
Darnold getting messy, going deep. He's got Jefferson. He's got Jefferson. It's a foot race downfield with Brown shifting gears, getting a block. That's six.
That is definitely one of them right there.
There's three games that I'm not saying this is absolutely the case, but could you not try to make an argument that they involve the best six teams in the NFL, or certainly six of the top eight or 10 teams in the NFL?
Oh, for sure. It's the Texans Packers game is one of those that you're like, okay, this, you got young quarterbacks, young talent, good offenses, good defenses. You're excited about that. And like, you could see that as a Super Bowl. Like, that could be a Super Bowl game right there.
Did you say Texans-Packers that I can also hear right here on 105.3?
That is right. That is right.
I mean, by the way, and if anybody thinks they're just shilling.
You can watch it on TV, too.
That is, thanks, Mike. just look at the records. That is a quality game.
You'll get a better view of it.
Oh, my God.
The game you just played, Lions-Vikings. Obviously, Chiefs and Niners is a significant game because that could be one that we look back at. Maybe it helps us. Maybe they lose to the Niners and they have another letdown, or maybe they win against the Niners and then kind of, you know, have a letdown against the Cowboys. But it's Washington, Carolina, and how many touchdown catches can Terry McLaurin have against the Panthers?
Is he on your fantasy
team? He is on my fantasy team. Okay.
I'm going to give you my schedule for the NFL season so far. Okay?
Because you haven't gotten to see a bunch, right?
Travel with the team on a road trip, Rangers. Yeah.
The Cowboys. Oh.
Week two of the NFL season on a Sunday. Call a game. Travel back to the Metroplex.
Yeah.
Week three, travel on a road trip with the Texas Rangers. Week four, do a Ranger game, travel back with the Rangers to the Metroplex. Week five, in Italy. Week six, in Italy. This is my first week to actually, this is my first Sunday to actually not be traveling or to be out of a out of this country where you can't watch the game.
Yeah. Wow. That is fascinating.
What a life.
Is that, that's a good way to put it. Alec,
I mean, how ticked would Jerry be if on Friday I go, Jerry, I haven't seen you guys play. What's going on this year?
I mean, look, that might be the most sanitized question he'll allow at this point. Alec, assuming it's down to Texans, Packers, Lions, Vikings, Chiefs, 49ers, is there one game in that group that you're like, that's the number one?
I want to see Chiefs, 49ers the most because I want to see which team is actually for real on offense specifically.
Yes.
Because I think Kansas City's defense is still really, really good. I don't know about their offense. It's been inconsistent. We talked about their red zone issues a lot, but you can say the exact same things about the San Francisco 49ers. So I want to see, one, you get the Super Bowl rematch, so you get that whole storyline. But two, I just want to see who's actually for real because I don't know if either one of them are.
I like it. I like it. Very insightful thoughts right there from Mr. Medford. Now it's time for Masterpiece of the Week.
So, boys, how's Buffalo Wild? Oh, wait, never mind.
We're here. We're like 12 feet in front of you.
Man,
you
know, technology's advanced. This could be like a screen in front of me. I don't know.
Six boneless, mild wings.
Okay, he's not our waiter.
I'm going to get naked wings next week.
There you go.
Okay.
Healthy.
I like it.
Hold on. Next week, you're going to be here next week?
I don't know.
Do you realize this is going to be the first time in a month and a half that you've worked two straight weeks at the station?
I don't know if, honestly, my body can handle it.
Must be nice. Recover.
It is time for Masterpiece of the Week. We're going to revisit some wild, wacky, and oftentimes concerning things said on this very program. And before we get to that, we're going to have somebody pick who we're going to pick on. I do want to mention, since we were talking about programs and whatnot that's coming up this weekend, I'm going to be on with James Tritely and Blake Elliott tomorrow in studio for an hour from 3 to 4 o'clock, hanging out with those boys on a Saturday. Nice. So yeah, going to be up here in studio, chatting things up, a little cross promote there for you, but I'm going to let you pick who we want to pick on. Corey, since we're grieving the Stars loss that Kevin, you know, wished upon us, I'm going to let you pick who we pick on first.
Kevin.
Okay. So we only have one entry from Kevin this week. So we're going to go ahead and burn that, get that off the docket right here. Kevin said this.
I do think people would be surprised about how small it would be.
Who's laughing now, Kevin?
All right. At least
what are you talking about?
Okay. I do remember what I was talking about is the size of the check that Jerry Jones would write to guarantee a Super Bowl.
That was a quote, wasn't it?
But yes, it was, but it does sound bad in that context. Because you're not going to follow that up by being like, ladies. Like, that's,
if you're into that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, yeah. Gentlemen. You don't know if people have certain tendencies. We have.
Is that a tendency that you think?
Have you never seen the people who do like the tiny things? That, like they'll have a whole house.
Okay.
And videos yes. where they
tiny
make
bag,
little,
tiny
little plate of eggs, a little plate of bacon. Yeah.
So you're saying if there's a lady out there who's like tiny bag, tiny dog, that might be
your
she
thing.
Wants it.
Yeah.
Add an end to the
Maybe
last
so.
One
or a fella.
Okay. Well, true. See, you never know what people want in their lives, okay? Just never Bear. Assume. Never assume things. But we have four different entries from Mickey Spagnuolo.
Good God.
So,
man, I remember that one day. I was like, good night.
I think it was Badass Mofo Lady T the other day. She was like, I am now convinced that he is
he
trying.
He knows. You know?
He knows. He's spending his day off today listening because he knows that he's going to be making multiple appearances, and we're going to start off with this.
And I thought they were the biggest things I've ever seen in my life, because they would wear these big, they're big to start, right?
Not bad, Mick. I think he can do better.
Oh, you think he can do better?
I do.
Let's try this on for size, then.
There's also the problem of depth on how deep can you go.
It can't be a problem.
It not if you're that one guy.
Yeah, not if you're whoever Kevin was talking
obviously
about.
Obviously, he's talking about on your defensive line and how deep your defensive line can be.
I'm going to be a good voter today, okay? I've written down the three things we're voting on so far.
Well, thanks, Mike.
So you want to read?
God, dude, no. Look, I'll tell you this. Number one on the list says Kevin penis size, and that is the most radio-friendly one on the list.
I was about to say, this is going to make my job easier, but apparently not. Apparently not. Let's see. Let's pick on Mike since he's being
okay,
problematic.
I believe there's a 75% chance I hit this.
That was my favorite when I heard it.
Mike on a typical Friday night.
Yeah.
You know?
So you want me to tell you the four things that I'm voting on so far?
You cannot say those two
no,
in the middle.
Please don't, Mike.
Probably not the fourth one. I don't know what you wrote down.
Mike, percentage on sex.
Okay. That feels high then. That percentage feels high.
I was talking about like at the plate.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like hitting a ball.
Yes.
But I get where we're going with what I said.
Yeah, you got to know the context, and I appreciate that.
I put
that.
Mick on the things that would strap around you. That was number two.
That's what he wrote. He wrote that, and then the old school way to decide high school playoff games in Texas.
Yeah, Mick on that.
Okay. The one Corey entry of the week is actually a carryover from last week. He said this.
So this season, he wants to be 10 times harder. He...
All right. That's called what's Viagra for in Blue Chew?
You should probably go with who sponsors somebody on the station at Blue Chew for erectile dysfunction among
so
other things.
So okay, so Corey talking about erectile dysfunction.
I'm gonna let Mike actually like sound out every title he writes.
Text in if you like this segment, by the way. I would just like to see. And people do like this segment.
I, for one, am a big fan.
All right, thank you. I
don't care for this show. I feel like I've been very upfront about that
somehow
for years.
Somehow you keep showing up to work every day-ish.
I have a contract.
Well, that's very fair. It's also true. I think people like it, Corey, because we did get a Twolo entry. This was actually Twolo Vader who tagged us in this on Twitter, and this just shows how everybody thinks the same way here.
I don't know.
You want me to look up what does bi mean?
Yeah, what does bio
No.
Mike is just doing his thing, and Kevin and I are both, I thought you said bio, and then right at the last second, it clicked in my brain, and both Kevin and I at the same time.
I have a defense mechanism of Mike saying, you want me to look up anything, and I'm like, not really.
Again so we can hear how quick you guys said no.
I don't know.
You want me to look up what does bi mean?
Yeah, what
does
bio
No.
I stopped in the middle of what I was saying to turn around and say, hold on, we got to stop.
What does it mean? I forget. I looked it up yesterday. I already forgot.
Life.
Two.
That's true. Yeah. That's stop. True. Bio does.
I like that submission, by the way.
I'm proud of you, Mike. Mickey said this.
He gets surprised by how fast the guy in front of him gets off.
Oh, my God.
What the hell, man? What the hell?
off the ball and attacking.
Stop justifying this man.
Man, I really
he
thought
he knew what he was doing.
I really thought Mike's 75% was going to cruise to victory for me, but I don't know.
Well, we do have another entry from Mike. We could try this one.
As I put the southern thing in my mouth to eat it.
That was the story from Italy about how that guy hated you and the way you ate food in order.
The South was supposed to be last.
But he went South second.
Yeah, North was first as the dessert. South was going to be last. Rome was going to be third, but I was going to make Rome last.
Okay.
And by the way, they say Roma. Why do we make them? Why don't we just say Roma?
That's a good question.
Roma tomatoes.
Yeah. We say Roma tomatoes. We don't say Rome tomatoes.
It's a good point.
We're going to Rome, but it's really Roma.
I don't know.
Florence has a totally different word. I forgot it.
The machine.
No, don't encourage him.
Okay, all right.
And I won't encourage that. Shut up, great. Alec, except for keep great. Working.
Okay, well, yeah, good news for you. I'm about to because I have one left. And of course, it's Mickey Spagnuolo.
And he sort of just let me have it. One up and down and around. And I was sitting there kind of taking it. And we got to the end.
That, I don't know how. I mean, that trumps everything.
Okay, hold on. Can you play the beginning part? Because I do not like my reaction, I believe, after Mickey said.
And he sort of just let me have it.
That is unfortunate.
How did he let you have it, Mick?
Oh, man.
Play it. How did he let you have it, Mick?
And he sort of just let me have it. Up and down and around, and I was sitting there kind of taking it, and we got to the end.
Okay. And then what happened at the end?
Well, let's leave something for the imagination, Mike.
Wow.
What Mickey decided on that one.
Wow. Well, I...
Hold on. You said... No, Mike. You said what happens at the end of that story. Alec, I don't know. I think it's a cliffhanger. I think Alec can provide to us what happened at the end of the story.
And he sort of just let me have it. One up and down and around, and I was sitting there kind of taking it, and we got to the end. He gets surprised by how fast the guy in front of him gets off.
Oh, my God.
How?
That might be too far, actually. Oh, man, I'm looking at that red button. I just don't know. I just don't know.
Hopefully you like the show.
It was your idea.
It was fun doing this show while we had the opportunities.
I'm voting for number 8.
Which one was that?
What is number 8? Is that how many we have? Is that the last one?
That was the 8th one.
Okay, well, I guess we're...
Number 1 was Kev's ween size. Mick on D, Doze? You say it like that, right? On the air? That was Mick on, if you are like Steve Nash and you go into the lane, you've had good penetration to the defense, and it collapses, and then you kick to a corner. That was number 3.
Well, I don't have time for all of these number descriptions.
I'll vote for number 8.
I'm going to, because I know it's not going to win now, I'm going to vote for Mike's confidence level.
That's number 4.
Oh, is that
number 4, Mike's confidence level.
I believe there's a 75% chance I hit this.
So good.
In any normal week, that would win.
In any other week, except Mickey Spagnuolo is going to take the crown with this.
And he sort of just let me have it. One up and down and around, and I was sitting there kind of taking it, and we got to the end.
It is, Kevin, your part of that is the part that gets me every time.
Hey, by the way, the person who said they didn't like this segment, they followed up and said, whatever works for ratings, it might say something about the IQ of your listeners. I would argue the IQ of the hosts as well, if we're going to do that. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan.
I only means one in Roman numerals.
From the, that's a great point. From the 817.
I think Q's in there.
How many questions did you ask about Roman numerals while you were there?
I didn't want to ask, but man, when you're reading things in Italian and they have all those numerals up there in letters, you're just like, I don't know these numerals.
From the 817, I love the segment. I just had to turn it off today because the kids are out of school asking questions. That is a very fair point. Coming up next, Let's chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Feliz Navidad! Feliz Navidad!
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. Right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, it is time for our chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is it today?
We are terrific, Hagee. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you very much for asking. I wanted to get y'all's thoughts. I know there's plenty of marquee football this weekend as well, but how invested you are in the particular baseball series, if there's one over another, and what your rooting interests are? Because we've talked about the Dream Mike Bassick series of the Mets versus the Guardians, but both of those teams still trail in their series.
You know, I'm always rooting against the Yankees.
Agreed.
I asked Fred and Blake that last night. I don't know why that is. I guess it was so many of my, you know, formative sports years in the 90s where they were dominant and they were a hated empire. And then you throw on top of that what happened with the Rangers and Yankees in the late
90s. Yes, 96, 98, 99.
You know, and it makes it a locally compelling thing to do, I feel like. So, I think that's my biggest rooting interest right now, now that the Astros are out.
I would agree with that. Yeah. What about y'all?
I think I've paid more attention to Dodgers Mets just because of everybody that's involved in that one. And I feel like it's too just the Mets are an interesting storyline. They're left for dead. And Francisco Lindor, I think, is a blast to watch. Otani, I'm still waiting for Otani maybe to end up pitching at some point, maybe in the World Series. They say that's not going to happen, but I'm holding out hope. Man. But I think that one's also just had so much drama. Yankees Guardians is interesting, but I don't know. I'm just a little bitter at the entire American League landscape. Right now.
Fair enough. Broadus?
Yeah. Give me my matchups from childhood, you know, with Yankees and Dodgers,
which is no doubt what Major League Baseball is definitely rooting for as well. Right.
Yeah. But I, you know, what games I pay attention to? The day baseball games. Yeah. It's day baseball because like Mike texts me last night or texts us all, that's baseball, you know, and I'm like, oh, I wonder what just happened.
It was
that
euphoria.
Kind of thing. So, yeah. But no, if the game's on, like here, I kind of.
Yeah.
Because of, you know, other things going on. But man, I like I said, it's just, I miss it now. I miss it after what we went through last year. You know, how much fun that was.
That was so much fun.
You know, and now you're kind of removed from that and you're like, damn, I want to do that again. I don't want to watch anybody else do it.
And maybe the Yankees and Dodgers are great, but still, when I'm watching these games, I don't feel like they're great. If it makes any sense, when you're talking about the Yankees of the 90s, by the time you got to like 2000, you're like, is anybody ever going to beat this team? They're just more talented than everybody. Mm-hmm. And I get there's a lot of talent with Aaron Judge and Juan Soto and Otani and Betts and stuff like that. But I look at the Rangers and go, they could lose 90 games next year. They could win 90 games next year.
Sure.
Like, and I look at the Guardians, I look at the Mets and I go, they might be under 500 next year. They might make the playoffs again next year. I feel like right now, baseball in a weird way, and I know how much the Dodgers pay for their team and the Yankees pay for their team, but I don't see them as dominant teams that teams are not going to be able to overcome the next couple years.
Yeah, and I think the fact that you don't have a repeat champion just further magnifies the idea. There's just so much parity. It's hard to get on top and stay on top. I think, you know, the luxury tax threshold maybe has had an impact.
Yeah.
Smooth things out.
If you can just have 2 months of hot baseball. Right, the Rangers, Rangers weren't good for 4 months.
Right.
But they were great in April and May, and it carried them into a playoff spot.
Yeah, they figured out how to play baseball, though, when they went to Tampa. After that Seattle series.
And the Mets weren't good for 4 months until the last 2 months of the year and figured out how to make the play. You know, and they made the playoffs because of their two last hot months.
Thanks to Grimace.
What do you fellas got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold as always. Hagee, thanks for asking.
Screw you, Medford.
We're talking all the local stories here right out of the gates in about 5 minutes. Chip Brown, UT Georgia at 3:20.
Excellent. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us Monday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Say goodnight, Mike.
Good night.
And he sort of just let me have it.